Blog Talk Radio.
Back with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Happy Bastille Day, and congratulations to France for winning the World Cup today on Bastille Day. But if you're looking for some pro wrestling today, if you're in Martinsville, Indiana, you can go over to the fair and watch MPG Wrestling today. And if you're up in our neck of the woods, blue collar wrestling like usual at the House of Action, 7611 North Exeter in Portland, Oregon. Speaking of blue collar wrestling in Portland, Oregon, I would like to welcome back to the show right now one of its top competitors, Darkness. Welcome back.
How's it going, Sanjay?
Going fairly well today. Now, since you've been with us last, you have had a few injuries pop up. It's taken a few months out of your career as you were recovering from some injuries. Can you give us a status report on the state of your health currently?
Currently, I'm up to 100%. I'm part bionic now, and got a big piece of metal in my leg from when it got broken. Now, last time I talked to you guys, I was actually in Georgia. I hadn't come back yet from the injury. But since then, I came back on Halloween of that year and won a battle royal. So I guess I'm in pretty decent shape.
Obviously, there was some rehab with the injuries, especially the broken leg. You had to essentially learn how to walk again, let alone wrestle. When you were rehabbing, did you do anything differently than you had before as far as stretching or exercising or diet to get back into condition that you sort of adopted as your standard protocol now?
After I broke the leg, my weight ballooned up, and I gained probably another extra 100 pounds from not being able to walk. And I started doing this diet called keto, and basically what it is, you drop all carbs and you drop all sugar, and you get your body to basically feed off of any type of fats that you eat, and then when it doesn't have any fat from the food, it starts eating the fat on your body. So I went from about 300 or so pounds all the way down to like 225 at my lowest, and the keto diet in conjunction with, you know, just getting up and walking and moving and running and going back and doing cardio once I was able to, it all just fell off, and I got in better shape than I was before I actually broke my leg.
Now, since you've been back, Blue Collar Wrestling has opened up a relationship with Fight TV. People can get the Fight TV app and watch Blue Collar Wrestling every week. They can order the pay-per-views and watch us that way. More people than ever are actually seeing the product. What's it been like from your perspective with the relationship between Blue Collar and Fight TV?
On the pay-per-view show days, it's a different atmosphere. I mean, we know that we're getting ready to go out live, and we know that there's going to be just more people than what we have in the arena watching. So it adds a little bit more stress, but it also adds some more excitement to it too, because you're like, all right, you know, you get one shot. You know, there's not only the people here watching, whether it be 100, 200 people in the crowd, there's countless others from all over the world. After the first couple of pay-per-views, I saw that the buy rate from all the different countries. There's countries that I haven't even heard of that are watching us, and it's just amazing. And we go through a rotation. We get about one pay-per-view show a month, and then we have like a house show, and then we have a taping, and then we have a. But on those show days, you know, the production is a little bit better. The atmosphere is a little bit more, I don't want to say like electric and be, you know, go down that road. Oh, it's electric, but it adds something to it, you know, and we're all trying to be on our best behavior, and it's a little bit more stressful, but in the end, it's worth it to see the product in the end, to see it actually up on and going live and seeing all the production stuff in the back too. You see, you know, the different camera angles all at once, and you know, which angle's the best at that time, and it's added a whole new perspective to it to me that I've never been a part of. It's exciting. I like it.
Al, for you personally, was live television something that you had not done prior to Fight TV doing the pay-per-views, or had you done live television in the past?
I had never done live television. It was always taped. It was always edited, stuff like that later. So going out live, the first few shows, it was stressful. But once you do it, once you get into it and you know what to expect, it's just like any other show. But, you know, you just have that in the back of your mind that there's all these other people that are watching you at the same exact time, not just the people here. So after the first couple of shows, the stress level went down and I was able to get out there and just do what I needed to do without having that be at the forefront. It's still tucked in the back of my mind, but like I said, the first couple shows were a little more insane because of it. But once you get used to it, it's not so bad.
Now, in addition to the pay-per-views and the TV tapings and so forth, on Fight TV, people are able to keep up with your feud that has been ongoing with Jimmy Boy. It seems like you and Jimmy Boy have had issues the last few weeks. What can you tell us about what's been going on between yourself and the magnetic Jimmy Boy?
The thing with me and Jimmy Boy, you know, to be honest, I'm not even sure how it even started. It was just another routine match as far as I knew. And he tried to make a name for himself off of my name. And, you know, he's there and he just, I don't know, there's something about it. He went by the name of Jimmy Boy St. John for a while. And, you know, he's sitting there fighting me, darkness. But he's got a dark side to him. You know, he doesn't take losing lightly. And he came out when I had a match with Jason Batiste. He grabbed that book from me. He smacked me upside the head with it, which, you know, it's not very saintly, but, you know, be that as it may, he cost me a couple matches. I cost him a couple matches. And we've just been going at it back and forth ever since. I mean, he went as far as to pull Jason Batiste in as his mystery tag partner. So that's a whole nother story unto itself. I mean, what company do you know of that calls in an exorcist for somebody on their roster? It just seems a little bit strange to me, but, you know, I'm all for it. We'll see how it all pans out.
Now, this book you mentioned, I remember seeing it. It's not a comic book. I doubt it's your set of nursery rhymes type of book. Can you tell us what actually was in that book and why did you bring it to ringside for so long?
See, the thing is that I never brought the book to ringside. Early in my career, I had a manager slash controller, and his name was the Mastermind, J.J. Young. And he actually used that book to control me and basically do his bidding. So years pass. I'm no longer, this was back when I was doing shows in California for AOW. I thought the book was gone. And then all of a sudden it just showed up. And then this guy in this whole Grim Reaper skull motif thing starts bringing this book to ringside. And I knew what the book was. I knew what it was from. I don't think the guy, whoever it was, or girl, whoever, I don't know what it could be. We never found out. We may not ever, but they started using the book, and they brought out, quote unquote, the dark side of me. And basically I wasn't doing things on my own. I was doing things as instructed by this figure, this skull figure. So there was a little while in there when, you know, I was just basically being controlled again. And Jimmy took advantage of it one day, or Baptiste actually grabbed the book, and then Jimmy grabbed the book from Baptiste, and then everyone's been passing this book around, and it's, you know, nothing to be taken lightly. So it's been interesting because, you know, once I got the book away, finally, I burned it. You know, it's not to say it's not going to show up again, but hopefully it's not going to be an issue for a while.
When you burned it, did it actually turn into ashes, or did it survive the fire?
Well, with the Book of Darkness, there's never any way of telling. You know, it's one of those things. You can take it, you can burn it, you can, you know, throw it in the ocean, you can run it over with a steamroller, hack at it with an axe. It's always got a way of coming back, so it's one of those things. It's like Jason from the Friday the 13th movies. No matter what you do to it, somehow, some way, it always finds a way to come back to me.
Now, we have a game that we play on this show. I believe you have played this in the past. We call it Word Association. I'll come up with some names of people that you likely have come across in your career. The first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I remember faces better than names, but I'll do my best.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Leon Knight.
Director.
Steven Andrews.
Brother.
Sunny Days.
Talented.
Bad Blood.
General.
Kelly Klein.
Fit.
Buddy Highway.
Just one word, or is it a phrase here? What are we looking for?
You could throw in a phrase if you need to.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just a single word. Okay, Buddy Highway. Let's see. Multifaceted.
Roy Lovejoy.
Hysterical. He's a funny guy. I like him.
Jimmy Boy.
Jimmy Boy. Ballsy.
Meat.
Insane. Insane from the Freak Show.
The final one, MD Lyski.
Andy Lyski?
M.D. Lyski.
Oh,
you might know him as
gotcha.
CW ring announcer.
Yeah, good guy. I like him. He always seems to get my stuff right when in the ring, so he announces me from the right places and everything, so I got no beef with him.
Speaking of M.D. Lyski, he gets a lot of abuse from a lot of people. Mac Traeger is put him into thumbtacks and drawn blood. The Freak Show tends to draw on him with Sharpies. Big Vicious always intimidates him. What do you think it is about poor MD Lyski that attracts so much abuse from the roster?
I just think he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. he's out there making the announcements. Well, those guys come out there aggressive, and he's the only one out there. So, and they let him keep doing it. So,
now in your career, you've wrestled in a few different areas, and you've had a lot of different opponents with varied styles, which means you have incorporated a few different styles into your own repertoire. Do you have a particular favorite hold that you have used, be it something that you used early on and got away from, or you're still currently using, or even a hold that you've not used during an actual match that you're hoping to use someday?
As far as holds, I think probably my favorite one at the moment is the one that I had to basically find a way to fight Big V when I came back, because there was no way I was going to be able to lift him up for any of the finishers that I have. So I came up with a Nyctophobia. It's basically a double arm float over submission hold. He's got his face down on the mat. I lock up both of his arms and then flip over him. So for being as big as I am, that's probably the most athletic move I got in my repertoire at the moment.
Is there any type of hold out there that you see other wrestlers doing that maybe wouldn't necessarily fit for you and what you do, that you think is something really revolutionary right now that could be like in a future hold that really captivates the audiences?
I've always been a fan of moves that incorporated parts of the ring. I remember back when Bret Hart used to do the figure four around the turn post, the corner post. I always thought that was cool. And then Tajiri, when he did the tarantula, when I would see it from him. So those are things that I don't think I could ever pull off, especially the tarantula, but it's always cool to see it. And it's cool to see different aspects of the ring being used. And one of my favorite ones is I'll actually take an opponent's fingers and put it in the turnbuckle and kind of crank on it from the outside. I always like doing that one, but you know, not a lot of people do it, so it's kind of interesting to see you just using the ring to your advantage.
I would like to just point out that that is illegal.
I get a count of five, and I know how to count, and I know when to let it go. So it's illegal up until a certain point.
It's still illegal, even though you're given X amount of seconds to release it.
Be that as it may, it is still an option in the ring for 5 seconds.
Technically for 4 seconds, because on number five, you're disqualified.
Could be 4.5 if you time it right.
It's all in the timing and how quick the referee is, I guess.
So I can get about 6 seconds if you're the ref.
That hurts me in my left kidney, but moving on. Now, you mentioned the mastermind and the book that guided you, but at one point in time in Blue Collar Wrestling, you were led by the skull. It was an actual skull that was brought to the ring. It seemed to give you certain powers. It seemed to have you under its spell, if you will. What is the status currently of the skull?
Well, the thing with skull is the night that my leg broke, I got rushed out in an ambulance. So a lot of things are still left unaccounted for from that night. One of those things being skull. So I was able to get, you know, all my ring gear together and all that kind of stuff. But skull and the helmet that I used to wear have eluded me ever since that night. And it had been a year since I had been back, and nobody seems to know where this skull has gone to. So it's a mystery for me as much as it is for everybody else, because I, no matter how many people I ask or people that were there that night are no longer with the company, or they're just missing in action, or I have no idea. I followed up a couple of leads, but at this point in time, Skull is still missing in action.
Very, very interesting. Someone that has been to BCW on a few different occasions that has been making her rounds of the Pacific Northwest for several promotions now is Casey Carlisle. I don't believe you've been on the same show as her, but have you been following her progress as she continues to sort of light a fire in the Pacific Northwest and really revitalize the women's division?
Yeah, actually I have. Funny thing is, we haven't ever been on a card together, but we ran into each other at the airport. She was being harassed by TSA because she's got a belt, or a luggage filled with belts. So I went over and talked to her for a few minutes, and this luggage, this rolling luggage she has, it was just overflowing with gold. And, you know, to see that and to know that she's going around and she is revolutionizing the industry for, you know, not just women, but just in general, it's a great thing to see. I like seeing it. And so we talked for a little bit and, you know, had common things and common people and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I met her a couple times, talked to her a couple times. And, yeah, interesting situation with her. But I like what I'm seeing. It's really good. I think it's good for the business.
Were there any talks or negotiations in place for the two of you to eventually team together at some point?
I haven't heard anything as far as there being any talks, but I wouldn't be opposed. It'd be a great teaming, I think. Yeah, it would. It'd be interesting. I don't think I've ever teamed with any female competitors, and I've gotten hit by a couple of them, gotten in the face of a couple of them, but never actually been on a team with one before. So I think it would be fun. I'm up for it.
Someone that Casey Carlisle has wrestled is Sunny Days. And for several long months in Washington a few years ago, she was plagued by an alter ego called Darkest Night. Were you at all familiar with Sunny Days' evil alter ego, Darkest Night? And do you think that she might come back if you were to form a team with Casey Carlisle, whom I love?
You know what? I would actually like to see that. If I wasn't even a part of it, I would still love to see it. But being a part of it and having Sunny, you know, turn to the dark side, as it were, I think it would be interesting to see. And if Casey Carlisle is the one to bring that out of her, then by all means, you know, let it happen. I just sit back and enjoy that as a fan.
One of the ways that wrestlers right now are making a large portion of their money off of the business is merchandising. Merchandising in the last couple of years has become even more profitable than ever before, I think. There's lots of shirt companies out there that team with independent wrestlers to make it easier for the merchandise to be sold to fans all over the place, not just in the local areas at the local arena. Have you been dipping into the merchandising well to try to boost profits a little bit as far as making money in the wrestling business?
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, you're talking about all these like easier access shirt companies and stuff like that. I just got my original Darkness shirts reprinted, and I've got them with me at the shows. Shirts are great. I love them. collect them from other wrestlers, you know, do the shirt swaps with guys that you enjoy hanging out with and respect in the back. And shirts are great, but I also like trying to find some things that are a little bit different as far as stuff for fans. I had, like, I guess there were, like, bloody handprint stickers at one time, and I actually gotten a bunch of skulls that were left over from a Halloween shop and painted some handprints on them and signed them and stuff. So, I mean, anything that's different, I always enjoyed getting stuff like that when I was younger. You know, trying to do that now is a little bit of a tedious task, you know. I can't really track somebody down to make a Darkness action figure, but, you know. Shirts are always great, like you say, and it's so much easier now. So we have so many different sites, and just getting them made is so much easier. But yeah, I'm trying to get some more ideas together and throw some stuff out on that table every Sunday and see if anyone takes a bite of the hook that's out there.
Reading into things, are you saying you want to do a t-shirt swap with me? Is that what I'm deriving from this conversation?
If you have signed guy shirts ready to go, tonight I will swap you a shirt if you want.
That is absolutely totally confirmed. I do.
All right, I'll have them there. I will be there.
As will I. That's some Iron Buddha level shocking news right there. That might have been the most IBLSN we've ever had. We've had a lot. Well. With that said, QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he has some questions. So, Thez, help you as I pass things along to QT.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Darkness.
How's it going, QT?
Not too bad. Not bad. Darkness, when you were injured, Buddy Highway was also frantically training and getting his body into shape by powerlifting, and now he is playing semi-pro football, I believe, as a linebacker. My question is, have you been to any of his semi-pro football games?
No, not so far. As far as I know, he's only had maybe a handful of games. He just started it. This is his latest venture. Buddy, like I said, when we were doing the word association, he's multifaceted. He's covered the spectrum as far as the entertainment industry is concerned, as things that he's done. And, you know, it's sad to not see him in the locker room, but it's nice to see him doing something that he enjoys. But, I mean, he's still got time for us here in BCW too, so that's good.
Yes, that is good. Yes. Yes. Now, Darkness, do you plan to be at Patty's Home Plate car show this summer? Patty's Home Plate car show.
Yeah, I did the last one, or actually it wasn't the last one. I'm missing a year in there, but the 2 years ago, which is actually funny because that was the last official full match I had before the breaking of the leg. I did it that following day I broke my leg. So getting to go back to the car show this year would be great. It would be like a full circle finally. You know, I covered all the special dates above and beyond the just regular show for BCW. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Not looking forward to the heat, but I like the car show. It's nice. It's a nice change of pace every now and then to be outside.
What are your top three cars you have ever seen at Patty's Home Plate car show? Top three cars.
Top three cars. Terrible with cars. Let's see. A couple of old Corvettes that were nice to see. There was what is that one? The Thunderbird. It was always nice. And one that was just, I don't think it was part of the car show. It was just some crazy Portland person that's got one covered in buttons. And that was interesting to see.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darkness, the rapper Drake said, "I talk slicker than a pimp from Augusta who just had his linen suit dry cleaned." My question is, does Pa Moonshine have a dry cleaner in Augusta?
To be honest with you, I don't think Pa Moonshine's got anything cleaned. He's from them Appalachian mountains. I mean, he just got one of those washing boards and hangs everything up on the line, as far as I know.
Wow. Well, aren't there pimps in the Appalachian area?
There's pimps in the Appalachian mountains. I'm sure Pa has maybe had a run-in with one or two through the years. I don't know. You have to ask him about that one for sure.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Darkness, Johnny Carson said, never ask your wife if she still hears from her old pimp. Johnny Carson.
Okay.
I was wondering if you were a big Johnny Carson fan.
I remember Johnny Carson. Unfortunately, that era, it was on past my bedtime.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darkness, Chris Rock said, everyone has favorite criminals. Mine are pimps. We can all rob a bank. We can all sell drugs. Being a pimp is a whole other thing. That's what Chris Rock said.
All right. Yeah, it sounds like, the Godfather said it best. Pimping ain't easy. So that's a whole other business conglomeration.
Yes. Oh, okay. Now, let's see now. Oh, and Coolio said, life is full of hardships, pimp slaps, and sorrow. He was pretty dark in that area. Yes, in that saying.
Yeah, Coolio.
Well, Darkness, in your word association game with Sign Guy, you said if Bad Blood is a general. Well, if indeed Bad Blood is a general, who in BCW would be a lieutenant commander?
Lieutenant commander.
Yes.
See, I'm not too sure on my military rankings here. Let's see if I can do this based off of Star Trek. So there was a general. There wasn't a general in Star Trek. Let's see how we can go. Lieutenant commander.
The lieutenant commander Data.
There was Data, yeah, but I mean, nobody's really that robotic back there. I'd say probably Patty herself. She's one of the owners. She's got a lot of input, and she's there if something goes bad. You know, she's got to deal with it just the same. So,
wow. All right. I'm going to put down Lieutenant Commander Patty. Okay.
Yeah.
Then that would be the rank of 04. The rank of 05 is commander, like Commander Spock. Who in BCW would be Commander Spock? One rank under Captain Kirk.
Let's see. I give that to Tex Thompson.
Oh, Commander Thompson.
He's still back there. You know, ever since he retired, I mean, when things get out of hand, he's the one that gets sent out there to get the troops back in line, you know. People start getting, you know, a little carried away. He's out there dishing out penalties and refereeing and doing that whole thing. And, you know, if anything goes south, it's on his shoulders too. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's Commander Tex Thompson, Lieutenant Commander Patty. Who would be an ensign in BCW fresh out of the academy?
Fresh out of the academy.
Yes.
Jimmy Boy, you know, on the roster right now that I can think of, fresh out of the academy, fresh out of training, fresh faced and all that good. Yeah, I go Jimmy. He's been around, but of all the people I can think of at the moment, yeah, he's probably the newest one.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Darkness, the great astronomer Carl Sagan said, there is a wide, yawning, black infinity. In every direction, the extension is endless. The sensation of depth is overwhelming, and the darkness is immortal. Where light exists, it is pure, blazing, fierce. But light exists almost nowhere, and the blackness itself is also pure and blazing and fierce. My question is, when was the last time that Jimmy Boy's soul burned brightly?
That's a hell of a setup for a question there. You know, it's funny because Jimmy's an opponent. But when I get out there in the ring with him and he goes for it, you can tell in his eyes, you know, he's hungry for it. You know, he's done things that, you know, he picked me up, walked me around the ring up on his shoulder. I was surprised, but it takes a certain fire to do something like that. Not only because of, you know, not only the size comparison, but the fact that he did it to me and he thought he could get away with it.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Darkness, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross said, "People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within." My question is, have you ever used stained glass dipped in liquid nitrogen as a foreign object?
Yes. I have not. No, that's a new one for me. Yeah, is that even something that's possible? I mean, I guess it's possible, but liquid nitrogen around the ring, it would seem I don't know. Yes. I have to look into this one.
Yes, usually liquid nitrogen comes in the big tanks, so that would be hard to smuggle into blue-collar wrestling. You'd have to have a small tank.
Yeah, it might not be an option.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, let's see here. Oh, yeah, Darkness, will you aid me in negotiations with Tex Thompson, or should I say Commander Tex Thompson, to bring a mascot to blue-collar wrestling? I hope to employ a high school in the Portland area to do a woodshop carving out of a plank of Western red cedar and then mount this above the concession stand. Will you join me in this endeavor?
To get a mascot for BCW.
Yes.
You know what? If you want to bring it on down, and you know, I'll mention it, say, yeah, I think it's a good idea. I will tell Lieutenant Commander Tex. Oh no, I'm sorry, Commander Tex Thompson. Lieutenant Commander was Patty. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I'll mention it. If you want to bring it down, yeah, we could always use more tchotchkes down a bit ringside.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, now Western Red Cedar is kind of a soft wood, and I believe that it's a needle-bearing tree, so it's soft. The leaf-bearing trees are hard, like oak, but I digress. Now, that would be a good project for a high school, and there's a lot of lack of mascots for wrestling organizations throughout the United States. I think we could set a precedent. Maybe they could, out of that Western Red Cedar, they could make a beaver, yes, like Oregon State.
Well, to be honest, yeah, I, in my vast array of wrestling knowledge, the only mascot I can remember was way back in the day of WCW. It was some kind of cat or something. But we had so much going on, it was hard to even notice. So, yeah, we need more mascots in wrestling. I think you're right.
Oh, okay. You know, and having it mounted above the concession stand would be pretty nice in those dreary November and December months. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we could have it up there, or we could put it at the gorilla position right before we walk out, like at the Apollo. I'll just go ahead and grab the beaver and then head on out to ringside.
Oh, all right, grab the beaver. Okay, very good. Okay.
I think that's a good slogan. We could put it on shirts.
I think Darth Carter, grab the beaver, would be very good t-shirt. Darth Carter, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, Darkness, can you tell our listeners if it was your left leg that you broke? And if it was, did the plate you have inserted, was it titanium?
It was actually my left leg. And as far as titanium, I don't know what kind of metal this is. It was funny. After I broke it, we sat around with kitchen magnets and tried to see if we could get anything to stick. So it's non-magnetic. I don't know if titanium is or not. I'll have to look at my periodic table here. I think it's just surgical steel. but I don't know how soft that is or not. So.
Wow. Okay. Would you care to tell our listeners how big this plate is, and is it attached to the tibia?
It is. I'm trying to remember now. It's attached. It was the small bone in the leg, which is the tibia, because then the fibula is the big one, right? I wasn't really great with anatomy.
Tibia and fibula, so, yes.
Yeah, so it's the small bone, and it is attached. And I think, let's see, reaching down now, I can feel 6 grooves. I think it's 6 grooves.
Wow.
And it's about 6 inches long. And yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right. How heavy is that plate? Did the doctor tell you?
No, not that I remember. I mean, there's a lot of drugs involved, and not extracurricular ones, but just, you know, for surgery and stuff. And he was telling me about it as I was about to go to under. So, no, what? It doesn't feel any heavier than my other leg, so it can't be too much.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Darkness, J.R. Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings wrote, "It cannot be seen, cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills, and empty holes it fills. It comes first and follows after, ends life and kills laughter." My question is, do you hope to perform this in a song with J.B. Moonshine during intermission at BCW with you on a Rickenbacker bass, just like Lemmy of Motorhead?
Oh, Lemmy. You know what? If JB's up for it, I could give it a shot. He is my opponent tonight, so I don't know. It might take some convincing. So the crazier things have happened at intermission, so I wouldn't rule it out completely.
Oh, okay. And just for the record, that was a song about darkness. Yes.
Yes. I've had a few of them shouted out to me from time to time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, Darkness, Annie Frank said, "Look at how a single candle can both defy and define the darkness." My question is, do you hope to light a candle on the former site of Bergen-Belsen concentration camp one day?
Wow. If I'm ever out that way, I'll seriously consider it.
Okay. Well, I think it's a pretty nice gesture to light a candle at former concentration camps, although I also have never been to one. Yes. Now, Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols had a song called Bergen-Belsen Was a Gas, or Belsen Was a Gas.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you should use that as your entrance music. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, in this day and age, I don't think it would be smiled upon.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, Darkness, Terry Pratch, the Reaper Man, said, "Light thinks it travels faster than anything, but it is wrong. No matter how fast light travels, it finds darkness has always got there first, and it is waiting for it." Would you say, in this case, that the light is Kane Jaden when he exits the locker room only to find darkness in the ring?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a pretty decent analogy. That works for me.
Oh, okay. All right. And I did see your match on YouTube with Kane Jaden when he had the blue hair. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was yeah, I remember that one. That was a couple of years ago, but yeah, that was interesting always to wrestle with those guys.
You did a very good stinger splash on Kane Jaden in the corner.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I used my weight to my advantage, especially with those little guys. You got to find some way to keep them grounded, so I find crushing their body in the corner is probably the best way to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, darkness, the great Edgar Degas said, the frame is the pimp of the painting. It enhances it, but it must never shine at the painting's expense. No, I don't need a comment out of you. I just thought I'd mention that. I thought it was cool.
Nice.
Oh, okay. And Kid Cudi sang, dim the lights, get it pimp tight. Do what I do, I lace up my own Nikes. I myself have never heard of Kid Cudi, and I just thought I'd mention that. Yes.
Talking about Nikes, like British Nikes. Let's talk about his shoes. Yeah, I like doing that. I take a rap lyric. I might not understand it all, and I think about where is all this coming from.
Oh, okay.
Lacing up his Nikes. BKs.
I'll try to pass that on to Sign Guy. Yes, he'll pass that on to you. Okay. All right. Now, darkness, the great philosopher Plato once said, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. That's what Plato said.
And that guy's been dropping knowledge from way back, so yeah, it still seems true today. I like that.
Yes, I think it was like a 500 years B.C., something like that, Plato, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, darkness, can you tell us, now, who did you say you will be facing tonight at Blue Collar Wrestling? Is it J.B. Moonshine?
Yeah, tonight, as far as I know, me and J.B. Moonshine are going to be locking up again. We go way back. He's one of my first BCW opponents. So, yeah, it's always fun getting in the ring with him and seeing him drink and fall around and, you know, picking him up and throwing him across the ring. And I'm sure Paul will be there. So,
yeah.
I'll have to mention to him about being a pimp in the Appalachians.
Well, yes, he's never talked slick like he just got his suit pressed from in Augusta, Georgia. Yes, his pimp
yeah.
suit. Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I'll hand it back over to Sign Guy.
All right.
And if you can find out the metal in your leg, could you pass that on to us, please? I'm going to say it's titanium.
Okay, yeah. If there's any bets going, I'll try to settle them, find out what it is, and I'll let you guys know.
Oh, okay. And hopefully, now I can't make it down there today because I have to work an evening shift, but I will try to get together with Tex Thompson on that wood carving job and project, and hopefully maybe mount a beaver with your help. Mount a beaver.
Definitely, definitely. I'll start laying the groundwork tonight. I'll mention it to him. I'll see how receptive he is to it.
Well, I'm sure he'll look forward to that. Yes. Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, darkness, more than ever, independent wrestlers have been able to make their way to Japan for tours. It's become a little bit more open as far as foreign or gaijin wrestlers that aren't well known to latch on to companies over there and be able to make shots. Is Japan something currently on your radar?
I would love to do Japan. I would, just for the experience alone, I don't even have to wrestle, just to see how it works from the backstage aspect of it. I would love to go and do something like that. It seems like Japan is gaining such a following in the U.S. now. I mean, it was big back when I was younger when they had, All Japan and New Japan. And then you had a couple of littler promotions. I mean, Big Japan and stuff like that. You had Michinoku Pro and stuff like that. But now it's we have American, you know, announcing over Japan matches, and you got Jim Ross doing it and stuff like that. And it's making a huge, huge following out here. And it's nice to see because it's a different type of wrestling. It's a different type of style. So just being able to go back there and see how it works, I would find amazing. I mean, and not alone being able to wrestle in Japan, it would just be awesome as well. But like I say, just from a standpoint to see the inner workings of it, I think would be amazing to see.
We learned earlier today via WWE.com that they are reinstating, as of today, Hulk Hogan into its Hall of Fame. Can you give us your own personal take on the news that Hulk Hogan is now once again a WWE Hall of Famer?
To be honest with you, whether it was official or unofficial, he's in the Hall of Fame for WWE, WWF. I mean, that's who I got started on when I was a kid. And he is what put pretty much wrestling in this form on the map. And to just, oh, no, he's not in anymore. Okay, now he's back in. Okay, he's out of it again. It kind of cheapens it as far as the way they go about giving out these Hall of Fame, you know, rings and entrants and all that stuff. But you can't take Hulk Hogan out of the Hall of Fame. You know, it's almost like trying to erase, you know, certain wrestlers that have been champions in the past that no longer exist, supposedly. It's just people are going to remember. And half the people that I talk to on a regular basis still associate Hulk Hogan with wrestling. So, you know, to officially let him back in, you know, that's good. That's great. I'm sure he's getting paid again by WWE and everything else. And that's great as far as, you know, image and financing and everything else. But public perception, he was never out of it. He is synonymous with WWE. And there's no way you can just, like, put him in, take him out, put him in, take him out. It's just not going to – they can do it officially, unofficially as a company. But the people's perception is never going to drop him out of the Hall of Fame for WWE.
Turnbuckle Turmoil has its own Hall of Fame. We have a number of inductees that we have included into this, including Aaron Bolo, the late Jim Chadwick, Troy Miller, No Class Brian Class, DeMarcus James, and this year's inductee, the Forearm Ninja Cameron Starr. Is it on your own personal bucket list to eventually make it to the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame?
You know, it is. And I don't know how many more interviews I got to do with you guys, but being in the Hall of Fame for at least most interviewed, something like that, that would be awesome. I would look forward. If you want to induct me, I would be there for the ceremony. I would come. I would write a speech for you guys. And that means a lot because I don't like to write speeches. So if you guys were ever to induct me into your Hall of Fame, I would rent a tux. I would write a speech. And I would come and accept the award. So yes, yes, it is something I aspire to.
Well, you never know who will get inducted year to year, so keep your fingers crossed and keep a good tuxedo shop in mind just in case. And we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming appearances, merchandise, social medias, your favorite tuxedo shop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Favorite pimp?
Okay. Favorite pimp. Let's see. BCW, I mean, we're every Sunday night. You can catch us on Fight TV, FITE.TV. Portland, Oregon is where we come from every week. Blue Collar Wrestling, 7611 Northeast Exeter Street. We have a special show coming up July 29th. It's our Open Fight Night Volume 5. It's going to be the Jade Ford Memorial Show. So that's one that's pretty near and dear to me. I'm real close with Jade's parents, and we're helping them out as best we can with everything that they've been dealing with. And they had their young daughter pass away, and we're putting on a show for them. So, I mean, if you guys are going to make it to one show this month, come on out for that one. It's a good cause. I'm always up for the good cause wrestling shows. And, yeah, that's what I got going on. BCW every Sunday. And if you want to reach me, you can find me at, let me pull up my actual full address because I don't go to it very often. But it's going to be... Oh, great. I can't find it now. Anyway, my darkness website, it's off of Facebook. So the address is going to be www.facebook.com/darkness1138. And that's how you can get a hold of me. As far as plugging anything to buy, nowhere to sell it online. So find me at the show.
Well, darkness, I will bring shirts with me. You have yours with you, and we shall do the aforementioned T-shirt swap.
Definitely. I am looking forward to it, sir.
All right. Hopefully you like baby blue, because that's what I got.
Ugh, you know all I wear is black. What are you talking, baby blue? Come on.
Fans spoke. That's what fans wanted, and I've sold a bunch of them. So, you know, there's that.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do.
All right, fans, if you want to pick up a Darkness T-shirt, if you want to see him do combat with JB Moonshine, if you want to see him talk to Tex Thompson about having a beaver carved into cedar wood and put above the concession stand, come to 7611 North Exeter tonight in Portland, Oregon. Television taping. You'll get to see what happens in the arena before it makes it to the Fight TV app. Get out there, support what Darkness is doing and the rest of Blue Collar Wrestling. And like you said, definitely don't forget the memorial show on the 29th of this month. We will be back with you next week. I personally will not, because I am on my way to Wrestle Club in Boise next week, but QT Vokes will be holding the reins. So Thez help Benjamin Boone, the Rockstar Pro Champion, next week, as he's in the capable hands of QT Vokes, who will probably ask him 18 questions about pimps. And we will talk to you next week.
Talking.